We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome, Wichita. How are you? Good, I hope. It's Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021. Let's say hello to our good friend Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Matt, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Stephen. I'm actually dropping my cat off at the vet right now. So.
Oh, is everything okay? First of all, what's the cat's name?
This is Izzy.
Izzy?
Yeah.
And how old is Izzy?
Izzy's like 13 years old.
Is it just a well check? What's wrong with Izzy right now?
13 years, 3 months. She lost a tooth.
Oh.
So she has to get some x-rays to see kind of what's going on and everything.
Right. Well, she put underneath that pillow?
You're right. That's exactly right. Have you already dropped Izzy off? Is Izzy waiting there while you do this segment? Or what's happening?
Dr. Nelson at the Eagle Animal Hospital is literally checking her out right now.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, everything's taken care of. Good. So hopefully...
Well, I'm in here with her right now.
Oh, so, yeah. Oh, hello, Izzy. How are you?
Put her on.
Right. Yeah.
Meow.
See what she has to say.
I'm on the radio.
Oh, boy. Matt, you want to talk Chiefs, Matt, even though you're dealing with your wonderful cat?
Absolutely, we can do it.
Before we talk Chiefs, though, Matt, tell me what your reaction was to Eli Drinkwitz going for two against Flo Rida and ultimately getting Dan Mullen fired and telling everyone, may the force be with you.
Yeah, that was pretty fantastic. I mean, I figured he probably would since did the same thing in Boston College with the plan and everything. He's an aggressive guy. But, yeah, what he did to Dan Mullen after the game, that was just absolutely savage.
So if Mizzou, they're going to go to a bowl game, I don't know what will happen against Arkansas. They're big, I think, 16-point underdogs. But if they finish 6-6 and they get a bowl victory, will that make you feel like the season was a success, or is it still going to be underwhelming for you?
From where they started, that would absolutely be a success. I mean, I had higher expectations because I'm pretty high on Drinkwitz. But from where they started at the beginning of the season, especially defensively, oh, good grief. I mean, I'll take it. That will be a success for me.
All right, let's get into the NFL and the Kansas City Chiefs. Although Todd, I think, wants to talk about Baker Mayfield because that's his favorite quarterback.
No, I was going to talk Chiefs.
Well, let's talk Chiefs. Matt, are the Chiefs the best team in the AFC?
I can't say that right now. I think you have to put them in the conversation. But everybody, I mean, and we've been talking about this. Everybody in the AFC has fleas. So, and the Chiefs are among them. They have some fleas. I guess it's appropriate that I say that at the vet.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you saying that because you're the vet, or is there something going on that we don't know with Izzy, or you tell us?
Izzy has no fleas.
Oh, good.
I mean, for a while now, I mean, it's just there's no perfect team in the AFC. They all have flaws. And I think, you know, Tennessee this weekend realized, hey, we don't have Derrick Henry anymore. That's kind of a big deal. I can't see them, even with their schedule, I can't see them hanging on to the spot that they're in. Buffalo, how can you trust that team with some of the losses that they've had the last, you know, month? I mean, Chiefs are in the conversation, but they got some work to do still. And, I mean, I can't tell you for sure who I think is the best team in the AFC right now. I mean, if they had to go out and all play right now, I'd like the Chiefs' chances. But, man, it's just there's just so much parity in AFC right now that I'm not sure anybody's made a real case to be the best team right now.
Matt, you know, we're sitting out there at the game on Sunday watching Red Zone, and the Colts were beating the Bills at home and the Titans were losing and all that. And about 2-3 weeks ago, I was like, don't even think about seeding. Don't think about anything. Just think about winning the AFC West for Chiefs fans. That's all you have to focus on. But after you see these things happen, I think you can start dreaming, or at least considering, you know, moving up in the seeding a little bit, because these teams have dropped games. You mentioned the Titans. They've got the Patriots this week. That's a game they can certainly lose. But if you can lose to the Jets and Texans, you can lose to anybody, okay? So I think those guys can lose some games. The Patriots are a team that's got me worried, but they do have four tough games coming up. The Ravens, I think that division's going to cannibalize itself. Do you think the Chiefs should start thinking, I mean, not the players and coaches, because it's one game at a time. I don't know if you knew that. But I mean, can Chiefs fans start to dream a little bit now with what they've seen in the AFC West, or should they just be guarded to think, you know, hope that's not us losing a game that they shouldn't lose?
They can absolutely dream, and maybe it's a little bit more than dream. I mean, considering where they were just a few weeks ago and where the AFC looks right now, I mean, they're in very, very good shape. I mean, the biggest problem is that they basically have to still finish a game ahead of everybody else, because everybody's going to have a tiebreaker over them. Even teams like the Patriots that they haven't played are going to have a tiebreaker over them, because Patriots are 5-1 in the AFC. Chiefs are 2-4. That's going to be a tough tiebreaker to overcome. And then they've got lost the head-to-head to everybody else. That's the tough thing, is that they are going to have to finish a game better than anybody else in the league, which basically, I mean, for some of the, I mean, like the Titans, I mean, they're going to have to finish a couple of games better than the Titans over this last stretch. So they can't afford any mistakes. I mean, can they drop a game and still, say, get the number one seed in the AFC? Yeah, I mean, that's possible. Two games? No, rule it out completely. I mean, they don't have to, I don't think they have to be perfect to get the number one seed, but they got to be close to it.
But don't you think, compared to a month ago, and I'm not just talking about the Chiefs being better than they were a month ago, because that certainly changes the outlook, but the schedule after the bye week doesn't seem as daunting. It's just the Broncos are not playing as well as they were, and they clearly have flaws at quarterback. The Raiders, I believe, are done for the season. Go ahead and check out and see you next year. The Steelers, they're pretty much what we thought they were. But, I mean, they're ravaged by injury on their defense, and Ben Roethlisberger, I don't think he's going to be getting any better. The Bengals are solid, but not as good as I thought they were 3 or 4 weeks ago. And then the Broncos again. There's nothing there. The only game that really stands out, and I think it's all going to come down to, is that Thursday night game at the Chargers is going to be magnificent, and it may very well be for the AFC West title. But the rest of the schedule, I mean, I love it. I love it the way it plays out for the Chiefs.
Yeah, on paper, I mean, you just look at the records of every team that they have left on the schedule, and it looks a little bit more daunting than it actually is. I'm with you. I mean, just because of which direction the arrow is trending on all those teams. The one scary game is exactly that one. I mean, I had the Chiefs losing to the Chargers on the road on Thursday night from the very beginning. I mean, that's just a tough one, because NFL teams on the road against playoff teams, not a favorable matchup. I mean, that's going to be a difficult one to win. And that's obviously problematic, because then if you drop that one, you lose a head-to-head to the Chargers, and now you've got to be a game ahead of the Chargers too, which I think they can. I mean, they are right now, so they're in fine position as far as that goes. You just can't drop that game. That's the one game left that they really can't afford to lose. But if they win that one, I mean, good grief, if they can beat the Chargers on Thursday night on the road on short rest, why shouldn't they win out? I mean, they should absolutely win every game left if they win that one.
And the funny part is, like, right now as we speak, they don't have anyone left on their schedule that's under 500, but that could all change by Sunday, right? It can start changing on Thursday. The Raiders lose, they're under 500. If the Chargers beat the Broncos, they're under 500. And it starts looking a little better, as you said, because those teams, the needle is pointing down on some of them. Matt Derrick is our guest here. We're talking some Chiefs with Matt from Chiefs Digest. And this defense really has changed. It's gotten healthy. And they've all mentioned that, the fact that they all kind of seem to be healthy at this point. I want to talk to you a little bit about Chris Jones, but let's start with L'Jarius Sneed. He has been an absolute phenomenon, and he really was good last year, right? But he got hurt and wasn't there the whole time. And, you know, but this year, man, every single game, he's making plays in the run game, and then he'll come up with a pick or a pass defensed or whatever. He's been really special for them. What do they have in this guy? And when do you start thinking about signing him? I mean, they don't need to do that yet, obviously. But he's someone who will come up sooner than if he would have gotten picked in the first round, because he's a second-year guy. He's really kind of changed what they were able to do. It's okay to say goodbye to Bashaud Breeland and things like that when you have someone like Sneed on your team.
Yeah, how and when they sign Sneed is going to be interesting to me, because I think they could. I'm trying to remember the NFL rule on the rookie contracts. I think they can offer him an extension after this season, but you know, usually it's done after year three for draft picks. If you really want to make sure you keep them, you certainly don't let them enter that fourth contract year with the potential of being a free agent, and you get deal with the possibility of franchise tags and all that. So I gotta believe that, barring some type of catastrophe, that Legarius Sneed is going to be the heart and soul of that secondary for a while. To me, what's just so amazing is how physical he plays as a corner. I'm not sure that there's right now. I haven't seen anybody that I've seen this year that plays the run at corner better than Legarius Sneed does, and he just plays downhill so amazingly. I don't know if the time at safety that he plays in college was a factor in just how aggressively he plays and the physical nature in which he plays. We picked that up there. If it is, I think every college corner should probably spend a year at safety to just pick that up, because he plays like a safety. He does, but he covers like a corner. This kid, I mean, to me, I mean, sky's the limit on the future of this kid. I mean, is he a potential number one shutdown corner? Quite possibly. And can he play any position? I mean, this is looking like the draft find of all draft finds for the Chiefs. Because I can't, other than, you know, hey, he had a little bit of a slow start this year. Injuries, maybe. But other than that, there's not really a lot of flaws with Legarius Sneed's game.
We have Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com on the line. Matt, for quite some time, we talked about the playing time for Daniel Sorensen. And, you know, why was he getting more snaps? Why was he starting and playing all the snaps instead of Juan Thornhill? That's been corrected, and the Chiefs defense is better for it. And I feel like offensively, maybe it's just because I hear Nate a lot, but I do feel like there have been plenty of people complaining about Mecole Hardman and wanting the Chiefs just to move on from Mecole Hardman as a you know, big part of the offense. And when you look at the snap count from Sunday, oh boy, he only had 12 offensive snaps, 18% of the snaps. And that, I mean, DeMarcus Robinson had 28, Josh Gordon had 29, Pringle had 40. I mean, he way down the list. He had fewer snaps than Noah Gray, Blake Bell. I mean, was that because of a matchup, or is this the Chiefs saying, okay, we're gonna move on from this? He's too inconsistent. His hands are too inconsistent. He's a nice gadget player, but he's clearly not a guy that we look at as a possibility for being the number two receiver.
Yeah, it feels, just because it's now a trend now for a couple of games with the snap counts of receiver, of kind of where they stack up. Last week, Gordon, I think, was number two in wide receiver snaps, and Pringle three. So they're both kind of in that ballpark. And then you've got Robinson and Hardman behind them. And that's kind of, I mean, that's how it's been the rotation. I mean, we'll see if that changes going forward. But, yeah, it could certainly be matchup driven. I mean, you know, the Chiefs obviously against the Cowboys with that defense, they weren't doing as much of their pop passes and stuff on the edge that they would normally include Hardman in, and some of the reverses. So maybe it was a little bit matchup driven there. But you look at the consistency. You look at it, guys that can get open and are reliably catching the football, and most importantly, probably holding on to the football after they catch it. I mean, Pringle's been the guy. He's been the most consistent in that next group. So, I can't argue with giving Byron Pringle the most snaps, because I think he's earned them. Gordon, you know, had a catch the other night, had a drop, still trying to figure out how to work him in. But, I mean, once again, I mean, I look at the potential of that group. I think that Gordon probably gives you the most upside. And because we know that there's a history with not just Hardman, too, but I'll put Robinson in there, too, of just inconsistency. And right now, they're trying to find some consistency. And I think you're going to go with the guys that give you the most in practice and that you trust the most. And right now, the Chiefs, with their snap counts, are telling us they trust Byron Pringle and Josh Gordon more than anybody else in that receiver group outside of, obviously, we're excluding Tyreek Hill from this conversation.
And also, those guys are more physical, and I know that this never comes up when we talk about wide receivers, but being able to block in the run game and be more physical, they at least offer that. I mean, Mecole Hardman doesn't.
Yeah, not only that, but being physical sometimes in the passing game. I mean, mm-hmm. Chiefs like to run some rub routes, and they need to do some things to be able to, you know, help Travis Kelce and Tyreek beat some of the coverages that they're seeing. And sometimes that means that they're going to have to play a little physical, even in the passing game. And who's better equipped to do that? I mean, again, it's Pringle and Gordon. So, and I thought it was notable. I mean, when I asked, you know, Andy Reid last week about, you know, hey, even though Josh Gordon's not catching the football, what is it that he's giving you that's not showing up in the box score? And he immediately went to those physical attributes, you know, that he's supportive in the run game, that he's picking up the offense, he's doing all the right things. Eventually they think that the ball's going to come his way and he's going to make some plays. But right now, yeah, I mean, you look at just the complete receiver, I can't argue that Pringle and Gordon are their best options no matter what.
Matt Derrick is our guest. Matt, when the Chiefs come out of the bye week and play Denver on December 5th, who's going to be starting at right tackle?
Good question. I mean, I would think that just given the fact that Lucas Niang hasn't been placed on injured reserve, they seem to feel like he's fairly close. I'm guessing that it would be Niang. We'll see. But, you know, at that point, you know, Mike Grimmers would probably be close to getting back. I'm not sure if he'll be back after the bye or not. Might be a little bit longer for him. But Wiley's played pretty well. I mean, I thought the games that he's played at right tackle, I mean, I thought he's looked the most comfortable the last 2 weeks of them all. I mean, he seems to be growing with some confidence and everything. He's a quality utility lineman. I mean, he can come in and give you good snaps anywhere. I mean, the future of that spot is Niang, so I'm assuming that once he's back fully healthy, it's his job again. But give credit to Wiley. I mean, he's stepped in and has done the job the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's battled. You know, he's certainly battled and got it done probably a little bit better against the Raiders. You know, it was nearly impossible to block Micah Parsons with the Cowboys, no matter who it was. He got around left end and right end a couple of times, but they have survived. There hasn't been any, like, you know, extended disasters in these games with that right tackle position. Right now, at the bye week, let's give a little bit of a grade to what the offensive line has done so far. You know, depending on who you talk to, my scale is just, it's better than what we saw in the Super Bowl, and that's an improvement, right? Is it what they had in 2019? No, not yet. But what do you think overall where they are? Because they will have to make a decision on what they want to do with Orlando Brown at left tackle. Has he played well enough to this point to have you think he gets left tackle money from the Chiefs in a long-term deal?
Yeah, you know, the question all along when they acquired Orlando Brown was, you know, whether they would get him signed or whether they would end up using the franchise tag on him for a year. You got that option now, and obviously there's a possibility that it could be Orlando Brown or Tyrann Mathieu who ends up with that tag. Yeah, I get the sense that the Chiefs need to see some more before they give him that big bag of money. And that might mean the franchise tag. I mean, that would certainly give you an option to see one more year to see how it goes. This year has progressed. I mean, it's gotten better and better. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, Orlando Brown seems to be on the upswing. It certainly seems to be picking up the Chiefs' blocking scheme and how they like to do things. Seems more comfortable with that. I think he's obviously improved, you know, as far as his footwork goes against some of the speed rushers that were giving him trouble early in the season. Again, I mean, the arrow is pointing in the right direction, Orlando Brown, but my gut says that there's probably a franchise tag in his future. I'm not certain that the Chiefs are ready to give him that long-term deal that, you know, you give left tackles. I mean, you're talking about $20 million a year, 5 years. I'm not sure if the Chiefs are quite sold yet.
By the way, the franchise tag is still a large bag of money.
That's right.
You know, so
for 1 year.
Yeah, but that's a large bag of money. I always hate when people poo-poo it like it's an insult they got franchise tagged.
Oh, yeah, I mean, no, it's not.
Because it's guaranteed. They can't cut you nothing. I mean, you got that money. So that's just my aside on the franchise tag. I don't want to hear anyone complain they get franchise tagged and play a year on that.
Matt Derrick is our guest. Matt, the Chiefs have the luxury of having the bye week now, And there are several matchups that are very interesting between AFC contenders that will have a direct effect on the Chiefs and their spot in the playoffs right now. And so let me get your thoughts on a couple of these matchups. Titans, we said the Titans need to lose a couple games. Well, this could be another one at New England. Let's just start there. Who do you consider the better team right now, and who do you think is going to win this game?
I mean, right now, the Patriots are the better team. I don't think there's any doubt about that, the way that they're playing football, especially defensively. I mean, that's where what they've really done it with. I mean, I know there's a lot of people raving about Mac Jones and everything, but this right now is looking more like the Patriots' early dynasty years, where the quarterback's kind of just along for the ride. It's really the defense that's doing the job. All those acquisitions that Belichick made during the offseason, they kind of seem to be gelling now. The Titans, I mean, I still don't know what they are without Derrick Henry. And I in that matchup, I love me some Mike Vrabel, but I think Belichick's got that one. He's got that team rolling. So I think they are the better team right now.
All right, the Steelers play the Bengals. Which team do you consider more dangerous between the Steelers and the Bengals? And who do you think wins this game?
The Bengals, I think, are certainly more dangerous just because they've got a higher upside than I think the Steelers do right now. I mean, offensively, Steelers are what they are. And I just continue to see, you know, last year was a great example. I mean, Roethlisberger is at this age, he just seems to, and by December, it starts to get away from him. And that Cincinnati offense on any given day, they can compete with anybody, probably including the Chiefs.
The Bills have proven they can lose to anybody.
They've
done that already. Thursday night, a little Thanksgiving night action. They're at New Orleans.
New Orleans
isn't great, but it's road game. It ought to be festive, right? New Orleans is always tough. Any chance the Bills slip up again here before they head into this stretch against the Patriots a couple of times?
There's definitely a chance. I mean, I don't trust the Bills right now. I mean, with the way that they've been playing and the losses that they've had, I don't trust them. But then again, I don't trust the Saints either. I mean, you know, their quarterback situation is just still completely unstable. So, you know, that's the difficult thing with that team. They're solid across the board everywhere else. But, you know, without that quarterback anymore, yeah, I mean, they are kind of what they are. I will always take home teams on Thursdays. I mean, that's just especially in close matchups. And I'll take home teams in all examples except the Detroit Lions.
Right.
But you have to go with the home team. But no, I mean, absolutely, the Bills could stumble again because we've seen it. I mean, they're not a perfect team, and they're capable of putting out a half-hearted effort.
Matt, I'll feel very, very dirty, very filthy on Sunday because I'll be rooting for the Denver Broncos. It leaves a foul taste in my mouth. But we want the Broncos to beat the Chargers. It's in Denver. Do you think the Broncos can beat the Chargers?
They can. I mean, I don't entirely trust the Chargers either. I don't trust the Broncos either. But hey, at home, I mean, give them a chance. I think much more likely would be, you know, hey, if Teddy Bridgewater gets an injection before the game and Drew Lock has to start,
wow,
that would make it a lot easier to root for the Broncos. Not that I'm wishing that. I certainly don't wish that on anyone.
The Browns are a mess, right? I mean, they were just awful last week against the Lions, and they got crushed by the Patriots the week before that.
But we want the Browns to win.
Chiefs fans are rooting for the Browns at this point right now because they like the Ravens to catch an L. You know, these are division games. The Ravens haven't beaten anyone in their division yet. They've only played one game. They've got a lot of division games coming down the stretch here. They survived last week at the Bears. I expect them to play better, but can the Browns muddy this thing up and make it a ball game?
They can. I mean, I expect if, hey, Lamar Jackson's back, not going to be a problem. But the Browns, I don't know what to make of. I mean, they've got some talent, but that team's a mess right now. I mean, they're not the dumpster fire that the Raiders are. But that team just they're not all together right now. So I think they need a really good day to catch a team like the Ravens and have the Ravens missing some key parts. Maybe that'll happen, but. Right now, I put my money on Baltimore.
All right, finally, most important question, your favorite side dish on Thanksgiving, please.
My favorite side dish?
Mm-hmm.
Outside desserts, which, of course, you know, because anything chocolate and peanut butter, that's what I'll be making for Thanksgiving, will be chocolate and peanut butter dessert.
Hey, that sounds good to me.
But other than that, I'm a stuffing man.
Yeah.
That's I can Jake eat loves. Stuffing all day long.
What kind of, any like special kind? Like Gary told us his mom used to make a water chestnut stuffing. Any special kind of stuffing? Just like stovetop right out of the box? Like, what are you looking for?
Oh, I'll eat stovetop, sure. You know, in March. I mean, I'll eat that year round. I've got no problems with that. And I definitely love, it's kind of one of those things like mac and cheese. The fancier it is, I kind of get, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't put mushrooms in it. I'm not a big fan of the mushrooms, so I don't need that. I'm not a big fan of celery, so I don't need fresh celery and big chunks of it in there. But, oh, good grief, just stovetop? Yeah, man, sign me up.
My parents used to, well, not my parents, my grandma, we used to have one small dish of oyster stuffing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. We used to do the salmonella stuffing, you know, the one that they actually put inside the turkey and cook it with the turkey.
Right, yeah, with the giblets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the way to go.
I don't really actual, like stuffing.
I should punch you.
Why would you punch me?
Just because you don't like stuffing?
It's fine.
Stuffing's delicious.
It's the best part of Thanksgiving.
Matt Derrick.
The best part of Thanksgiving is family.
Our best wishes to Izzy. And our best wishes to you and your family for Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully Izzy's tooth and everything else is going
to
be okay.
Yeah, best wishes to Izzy.
Right.
Greatly appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And I am very grateful to have all of you as part of my life.
Well, we're grateful that you come on the show every week and listen to some of the nonsense that you have to listen to. So thank you for doing that, Matt, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Take care, everybody.
All right.
We do put him up with a lot of nonsense on this damn show.
Oh, yeah. I was yelling at Lebo when he answered the phone. Calling him.
What about what now?
What?
That's not good.
No, here's... No, this one, that's what I'm going to tell you. So I'm going to tell you, there's nobody better at pushing buttons than you. And you know how to get after him, and you know how to get after me. That's why we like it. You keep us sharp.
We're talking about global conspiracies.
Yeah.
Well, right. We're talking exactly about how corrupt the Federal Reserve is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm deep into the crypto right now.
I started this. Well, I know you're deep into a lot of stuff right now.
Deep.
But this is what I brought up. Because I found this
to be...
No, I just want to say,
there
were a whole bunch of people...
You got Dion Clisto.
Dealey Plaza in Dallas yesterday, all lined up on the overpass around the grassy knoll and everything. Real people.
This is the third time in a month.
But I just said, because yesterday was the anniversary of the JFK assassination. Real people with apparently real working brains, or so they say. They do you know why they were there? They were there awaiting the return of JFK Jr.
But
and
I thought it was a joke. The third time in a month they've gone.
A bunch of people were there. And
if
I'm
they
like,
keep going back,
relax. It'll be JFK Jr. It'll be Michael Jackson and Princess Di. They're all three coming back.
And I just
don't worry. It'll happen.
In the hell is wrong with people?
Hey,
like
man.
Legitimately, like waiting for him.
Man.
Like, they think he's going to be there. I go, is someone going to break the news to him?
It's the third time in a month. They keep going back.
Alone. How many times? No, they're blocking traffic. And no, I'd leave them alone because they won't leave us alone. These people.
They're not blocking you.
What is going on?
These things, man.
Who is going to break it to them that
neither
JFK is coming back?
It's the third. Three strikes, you're out. Don't go back. I'm going to give me 20 seconds. I need to. I was told
by Lance.
Why do
I got
to
give you 20 seconds?
Lance said my apology was not good enough on my fantasy football lineup. He wants me to tell you everyone who was on the lineup on the air.
This is brutal. He told me this is brutal.
Okay, listen. Now stop right here. Time out, Border Patrol.
Brutal.
We have two remaining. Here's the deal.
All right. This is
20 seconds. We give Nate hell because Nate, first of all, this is his lack of commitment to his. He forgot about the draft or the auction.
He forgot
week,
about one draft and then went to auto draft on
right.
an auction.
But
so
every week,
different
every
drafts.
Year, there's at least one Friday. He's like, oh crap, I forgot to put my lineup in. Like, it's and like Jake always
Thursday
says, do you think
game.
They just started Thursday? There he is right there. Do you think they just started Thursday football, right?
Brand new.
And so we harassed Nate about
what
this. But let me
here?
Tell you something. This is something good for Nate. He needs to hear this. Nate's off the hook now. Nate can never be criticized ever for anything he does in fantasy football after I heard
this is brutal
this effing lineup that you had active.
This is a public apology. to Lance.
Did you do this on purpose?
No. This is a public apology to Lance, Zane, Scott, Garvey,
they all deserve
Matt,
it.
And Susan.
My wife?
No, oh. Susan Travis. She's
you
not,
should apologize to my wife.
League, but she's on our text string that I got in trouble for because I told everyone that Lance changed the name of our text string. I'm not even going to say what he changed to again. But so then,
listen to this lineup. What's the name of the team?
Thick Sand. With two C's.
So stupid. Okay, everyone listen to this lineup. Here's Todd's lineup that he had active this past weekend, starting.
My win probability was 1% against 99. I had Lamar Jackson.
Okay, he didn't play.
He didn't play. I had Joe Mixon.
No, I have to get the head out of yard. What are you talking
about? Najee Harris. Nice day.
Hey, that's a workhorse running back.
Keenan Allen.
Pretty good, pal.
Amari Cooper.
He did not play.
Who's D. Smith for Philadelphia? He scored 10 points.
Yeah, Devontae Smith.
There you go. Oh, yeah, he's a Heisman Trophy winner. Well, T.J. Hockenson. He did okay. Okay. He's fine. Jerry Jeudy, they were on a bye.
Right, bye week.
And Henry Ruggs is but I had the Cleveland defense against Detroit.
Did you just say you started Henry Ruggs?
Yeah, well, he's on my roster, and I started him. And he must have started the last 3 weeks. So that's my public apology to my Sooner text string. I'm going to send him an air check, and it's all going to be fine.
Are you going to change the lineup?
I'm going to change it today. I tried to change it, but here's the deal. There's no money in this league. We don't pay any money for it. It's a fun league. So it's not like
it's like a lot of fun to me.
Well, it's a lot of fun for them.
For that, is it?
I lost that game.
Did you? That would have been something if you would have won that
game.
Well,
it's 154 to 95 when that happened.
No.
I did pretty good for it.
95, that's not a
not bad,
bad
for not
showing if you'd have started a quarterback
or three
or
wide
receivers.
It disgusts me.
Does that how mad does that make you?
It disgusts me. Disgusts me.
If I'd have started
a
running back.
Amari Cooper, you messed that up. All right, I get it. Okay.
Henry Ruggs is unforgivable.
That is unforgivable.
Judy's unforgivable. He's on a bye.
But Henry Ruggs
wasn't a surprise. Like,
killed someone 3 weeks ago. That's unforgivable.
Can we break, Stephen? Look what you did.
Let's break it.
Say you're sorry.
I said I'm sorry.
You mean it.
I mean it. I told them all I have no excuse on the text string. And then... So since I outed Lance
league,
for the
I'm
name change, and now I'm
kick
I'm,
him out.
I'm doing
a lot of
it
people
right
that
now.
Want you in their league now.
I'm doing okay
are
in
you?
My money league.
Good for you.
Kind of okay.
Take a break now. Back after this on WHB.